is Christophe Kassoun, and welcome to this week's edition of ASISU Speaks. We're about the end of the semester now, and I have one of our last few senators with me today on the show. So, Dre, why don't you introduce yourself?
How's it going, everyone? My name is Dre. I am the College of Pharmacy Senator this year for ASISU. I've been in Pocatello for about 6 years now, so I've been around for a while and loving every bit of it.
Very nice. So how did you end up at Idaho State?
Well, in high school, I was just trying to narrow down a career that I wanted to chase, you know, kind of find the dream that I wanted to go for, and I started to get an interest for pharmacy. It was something that I knew that I loved science, and I wanted to be in a position where I could help someone, so I knew that ISU's pharmacy program was quite prestigious, and it was close to home, and so, yeah, I felt like it was a perfect fit for me, and it was just the right choice.
Nice. You just automatically knew that this is where you wanted to be.
Oh, yeah. It's been, like, almost nothing but ISU the whole time, so.
Wow. And what town are you from?
I'm from Arco, which is this small little town with numbers on a hill. Not too far from here, about an hour and a half, but yeah, and I lived in Isle Falls a little bit, but other than that, it's been pokey.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about your program. So how is it structured? What do you guys do? How do you feel about your professors?
Okay. So my program is 4 years, so it's a doctorate program.
Right.
So
I'm assuming you had a bachelor's before you started?
I actually didn't have to get a bachelor's as of right now.
Wow.
I just had to finish the prereqs and of course, you know, in some way fit all the needs that they wanted to be an acceptable candidate. But, yeah, I did it in four. I could have done it in three, but I chose to kind of do some business classes and just enjoy the process along the way. But I got into the program, luckily. I was really happy about that. It's 3 years of the academics and then 1 year of rotations where you get to experience different fields of pharmacy and see what's your fit. As far as how it's gone is, I mean, you get small classrooms where the teachers can be a little bit more personal with you, know you by name and whatnot. And I think my most favorite part is that instead of everyone competing in this cutthroat mentality, we all get to come together as like a family. We call it our farm family.
And so each
class comes together and we help each other out through and through. And everyone has a different strength that they bring to the table. And as far as professors go, man, there's some outstanding ones that I swear they know exactly what we're going through.
Right.
It's like they're reading our minds and they're really great about, you know, understanding your situations because it's a very stressful environment and helping you. If there's something, I don't feel at all hesitant to reach out to them and seek that help.
That's great. That's fantastic. I think at ISU, all professors really do create that sense of community and like closeness to their students. You know, like a lot of other schools, professors tend to forget that they were ever students. You know, like, I have that PhD now, I can crack the whip. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know how it was in my day, so it's time to make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it just, like, facilitates the cycle of, like, inequality between students and professors, because if their professors ill-treated them when they were in school, then they're going to do the same to their students, right?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
So that's, like, I think one of our strongest benefits of coming to Idaho State is your professors really will care about you in ways that you didn't even think a teacher could.
Oh, yeah. I don't think at ISU it's just the right size where it's not too small where, you know, everyone knows a little too much, and then it's not too large where you're just this number. It's just right where if you want, you can have a strong connection with your professors. It's just about how much effort you want to put in.
Right, definitely. And I think if you come to your professor with a certain level of expectations and innovation and kind of a plan and an intention for what you want to do, they are so willing to fulfill that dream and help you along the way.
Oh, they love feedback.
They love it.
To hear it because, like I said, sometimes they could, you know, like you said, sometimes teachers can get a little out of tune with how the student's feeling, and so they love to hear that feedback and kind of understand maybe there is something that they missed,
right,
or they're not seeing from the student's perspective.
Exactly, because so. It's really a partnership, you know? They'll learn from us as much as we learn from them.
Absolutely.
At least it should be that way.
Yes. Both are very important pieces of the puzzle, so.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about ASISU.
Okay.
So how did you end up in ASISU?
Oh, man. Well, I've always been quite involved on campus. I learned very quickly that's what makes the most out of the time here is the more you put into it, the more you get, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was very involved and made a lot of connections with people, and it was just some opportunity that came my way through some people I'd already been affiliated with, and uh-huh. they said, hey, you know, I've seen some of your success in these other organizations, and you have a lot of great ideas. Maybe we could use you here. Maybe there's an opportunity here. And so I went for it, and and ever since it's been like one of my favorite things this year. It is awesome to give back to finally be in a position where I can do something and make ISU as great as it can be. So
I love that. Yes. I love that you know this is your first year in office and you already feel so at home, you know, and this is why I'm doing it all this time, because it's such a family and it's such a great space where you can learn and grow and kind of enact change however you think is best for the school. It's really where you can make your vision real.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And I have to give, you know, my hats off to those that have already done it in years past, because, you know, you guys have created that welcoming feel and a smooth transition and just great in the fact that you see people start to grow throughout the year as well, both together and as uh-huh. individuals. So it's been an amazing opportunity and I love doing it.
Yeah, it's great. So was there any specific thing on campus or a problem you wanted to kind of address in office this year, or is it just kind of going with it, seeing what needs you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of... There's always a couple ideas in the back of my head.
Right. I see you thinking.
You
got
to work out a lot of the details. I do also like to sit back and just kind of see the ideas of everyone else in ASISU and what they maybe prioritize, because we're only as effective as we are if we work as a team, you know?
Agreed.
If we're going to push for something, let's be unified and let's be all, you know, all feed in with it. Mm-hmm. I mean... there's been a lot of change already this year that I'm seeing that's amazing. I'm seeing a lot more involvement with students, which means that there's better experiences being demonstrated here this year. I mean, obviously, a lot. I think the biggest issue that I wanted to fix this year, or thing, personally, I just want to get the community behind the same aims that the students and the faculty. I want us all to be on this same page where, mm-hmm. you know, the things the students want, the faculty receives and knows of it. And then with the faculty going through with it, that the community knows what the school is aiming for. And I want them to be on the same page, because there's been a lot of recent events and a lot of clashes, and I feel like some misrepresentation. Because I personally feel like ISU's a really great place to be, but sometimes the community kind of has a different interpretation.
Right.
That parking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, parking.
I mean, honestly, I hate to be that student, and I know that it's probably far worse than other places. But I would love to see parking improved. I'm kind of a stifler with that. I hate paying $100 and then not being able to find a spot.
Find a parking spot, yeah. It's a big problem,
I feel like that, like, out of everything that we could really do for students, all these mm-hmm. small little details, that's probably one of the bigger ones that they're like, look.
This is something we need to get.
I know these other things would be amazing, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But if I could just park.
In peace.
And get to my class.
On time.
Within like 5 minutes instead of planning like an extra 15 minutes ahead.
Right.
because, yeah, it's an issue, and I understand why it's there and why it's mm-hmm. difficult, and it's right. not easy. It's not an easy predicament.
It's a very complicated thing to try to solve, but we should be having that discussion.
Yes.
Right? And what can we do today or tomorrow and lay a groundwork to start making this change happen? Because it is possible.
Yeah.
It is. It has to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think right now is the time.
Right.
Like, we have a new president coming in. We have a lot of changes here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're open to ideas. They're going to be receptive, not exactly locked in into, well, this is the way it's worked and this is the way it's going to be. And
exactly.
And honestly, I do believe that that there is a lot of change in it. It's a process. We can't expect it overnight.
Absolutely.
But I feel like if we continue to mm-hmm. have that open communication with the president, with the deans, which it shows that they're starting to really create, I feel like, our values and what we want from ISU will be delivered in due time.
Definitely. I think we have a good bunch of people working at ISU right now that are really committed to trying to improve the student experience and just make college a little bit more convenient.
Yeah.
Like, is this whole parking thing, it's just about convenience.
Yes.
And if we fix that parking situation, that could benefit the school as a whole. Like, you'll have students doing better in classes. They're less stressed. They can devote more time to what's actually important as opposed to running around in circles trying to find a parking spot.
Oh, yeah.
That's so much wasted time.
Yeah, and I think, and it also would just remove a little bit of possibly the conflicts with the city.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, if we can't find a parking spot quick, what are we going to do? We're going to try and look for someone, something somewhere. And that could be a spot that's not necessarily one that's okay.
Right.
So then, boom.
It just
so it's just this, like, we're just caught in the middle of it.
Right. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Difficult. Well, hopefully we can start making some real plans.
Oh, yeah.
And talking to the right people to figure out how we can get that through.
Definitely.
Yes. So, segueing out of ASISU and ISU in general, let's talk a little bit about the country.
Okay.
Right? That's kind of a big thing going on right now.
All
right. We have a lot of things happening. We have a lot of people saying a lot of things.
Yes.
So, just generally, like, how do you feel? How do you feel about what's going on right now in the country or in the world?
Oof. Well, I can't pretend to say that I'm the most informed with this kind of topic.
No one is, honestly.
especially, you know, with all the things that I'm tied up with, you know, I may not be able to spend them the most amount of time and pay the most attention to. There is a lot going on. If I had to speak from a summary of the country, I don't necessarily like the direction that we're going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just me. I mean, I know that there's a lot of complexities involved, so many, and it seems that the more I dig into them, the more I start to see one side or the other side, but it keeps going. I haven't really found a solid, you know, viewpoint on those types of things. I mean, could you give me just a topic in specific with the country that maybe we could go more in depth with, rather than just a vague outlook?
I see you. Okay. So let's talk this. We had a recent election. We had our midterm election, mm-hmm. right? We had the Democrats taking back the House.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of seeing a lot more minorities running for office, a lot of women of color running for office and winning, right? Ran successful campaigns. What do you think that says? What do you think that says about our system and our ability to kind of react or try to improve things? Or do you feel like this is all just part of the status quo? Do you feel like there's change happening?
No, there's change happening.
Right?
It's appearing in different places at different times. And sometimes there's, in my opinion, a little bit of regression and then progression,
That's always how it works.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's kind of here and there. But overall, I mean, yeah, we're stepping to in the right direction. I want to see more diversity because it brings different perspectives, and different perspectives create a greater, more clear picture of what's going on.
Right.
And I think that that's very important, to that there is a lot of both like-minded and also, you know, fresh ideas going on.
It's a balance.
In the mix, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, everything's a balance.
Definitely. I like that diversity argument. It's very difficult in politics to make decisions, right? Because there's such limited information sometimes. And when you have to make massive decisions over extremely complex issues and you want to break it down to one thing or the other thing, that's a slippery slope, right? But once you get like all the voices in there, all the ideas, all the information, you can kind of definitely put together a more comprehensive policy.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And it'll be more, the ideas will be more refined because they're up to more scrutiny.
Exactly.
and polarizing, yeah.
So that competition, that...
Yeah, something, yeah. Especially, yeah. You know, if one way's been the whole show the whole entire time,
right.
Someone could have implemented just as successful of a strategy, but it's completely in the opposite direction, and these people would think that they had it down.
Know,
they had it down.
Right. And it could be that they had it down for a time, you know, like, but the world is constantly evolving. Humans as just beings are constantly evolving physically, spiritually,
and
emotionally.
Things are speeding up faster and faster.
Right. So I think like at some point, like, yeah, we can hold on to traditions and we can be like, well, this is what this means and this is what this country stands for. But when it really comes down to it, the country kind of is what we make of it.
No, absolutely. Right? Completely agree.
Yeah. So I think it's good. It's good to kind of have these discussions and try and welcome other voices. I feel so excluded because it's kind of because of that exclusion is why we've had such bad policies and why things have just been the way they are.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. If you leave a lot of, I would say, important voices out of the room,
right.
You're missing a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that we could have discovered a lot earlier.
Right.
A lot of progress that could have been made.
But as I can't tell you who said this, but somebody once said, a great person, I'm assuming, said we can only move as fast as our slowest walker. So all of human progress will always just be kind of bound by our weakness.
Yeah.
It's just so
we and can that's unfortunate.
It's hard to accept, right?
Oh, man. It's tough. Because there's so many variables that take place as to why they're slow walkers in the first place, right?
True.
You know, down to everything, it stems from the conditions before they're even, you know, there's a lot that goes into it.
Exactly. A lot of history.
Oh, yeah. But I think the best part is if we're open to all these different ideas, there's clear communication, and I think, and I would say even globally, like for me, I love the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, like, man, a hot topic was the net neutrality thing.
Right, yeah. Right?
Oof. And I don't know if I want to plunge into that, but what I'm saying is I think the internet's been this amazing thing for us, for our generation. It's this ability for us to communicate, expose mm-hmm. corruption, and to
form connections.
Oh yeah, across the world and to unify and I mean, I can't stress enough how important it is to understand. I think that the more we understand, the easier it is to love.
Right.
I mean, I think it's agreed. Easy. I think it's easy to hate something that you don't understand, but it's a lot harder when you understand to hate something.
Yes. I am living for this right now, Trey. Yes, I completely agree. My sister once said, one of my biggest mentors in my life, she said, the ultimate goal of humanity, right, is to learn to love your greatest enemy. If you can learn to truly love your enemy as much as you love yourself, you've done it. You've beaten the game, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Beaten all the bosses. That's
absolutely
really what it's about. Like, once you can have that empathy and see that this thing that's so completely different than me, really, when you break it down to its genes, you know, it's history. We're all just one thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think as we're kind of to tie it in, like, mm-hmm. yeah, the more we are exposed to these different opinions and these different ideologies and methodologies,
uh-huh.
we're going to be a little, it's going to help the process of being more empathetic.
Right.
Right? The mm-hmm. less you're exposed to this, the less you can relate to it. You're like, I don't know how you would possibly ever think of that
exactly.
or do that. But then when you've seen it and you've been exposed and you've taken the time to understand those people or understand those policies, then you're like, okay, all right, now I have this bigger picture here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, through a little bit of debate here and there, you guys can refine and understand the reasonings behind why you're doing what you're doing. And at the end, everyone is better off.
Exactly, exactly. No one ever, there's no such thing as one winner, right? Everybody has to win.
Yeah, no, I hate this idea that people feel like there can only be one winner and all that. There is ways that everyone can win,
mm-hmm.
or ways that you can
still gain something.
Without
taking something away from somebody else.
I think if you have the right attitude, you mm-hmm. can gain something from just about anything. It all just depends. Even if it's a failure,
yes,
you can grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you let your losses be your wins, you win every time.
Right, it's true.
There's good no point. Loss.
At that point, you just, yes. Mm-hmm. That's very, very important. You know, like, our failures are just as important as our successes, if not more. They teach us more than our successes.
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of that crazy metaphor of we think of the sunshine as this happy day, right? And everything good in our life and this pleasure. Well, I'll tell you what, a flower can't exist without the rain. So just
exactly.
as human beings, we need struggle.
We do.
We do. And we need it because, man, if everything was so easy and obtainable, what would make it valuable to you?
Thank you.
What would really give it value to you? If you could transport yourself to the top of every peak and see every view,
mm-hmm.
would it mean as much?
Right.
Probably wouldn't. So the struggle is just as important in the equation.
Definitely, definitely. I think we need to welcome that. We need to welcome those negative experiences, negative whatever we think
whatever
negative is, because there's no such thing that's ever truly negative.
Right.
It's all about how you look at it.
Man, I had a guy come in. I was working a job and he came in, and a lot of times people like to. For instance, I was talking about weather. They like to stereotype the day based on the weather. They say, oh, this is a bad day. It's cold. It's rainy. It's this. And the guy says, well, I've never had a bad day in my life.
Hey.
It's just my interpretation, you know?
Exactly.
So.
Glass half full or glass half empty.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And I think I had a professor in my pharmacy school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wisdom. And he says, honestly, it's all about how you write it. It's all about the story that you're writing in your
yes.
head. It's how you're interpreting it. It's how you're feeling about it. Not exactly about what happened, but how you felt about it.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And
mm-hmm.
it's great. And so, like we said, when there's failures, you can either write it off as a tragedy.
Yeah, and then play the victim.
Or you mm-hmm. can laugh about it and make it a comedy and just say, oh my goodness, I slipped on that ice. Oh, you know, and
yes.
laugh about it and
true.
Just and go on. And
yes.
make the best of it.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Right. That's what it is about. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Try to get to the end of that finish line, wherever it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I personally don't feel like there's anything in your way but you. And as long as you, I mean, to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say for anyone that wants to be successful out there, it's not a matter of pace. It's just a matter of enduring it.
Yes.
And seeing it to its finish. Knowing that direction, no matter how many curveballs go your way,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get there.
Exactly. And you have to... I told one of my friends, too, that, you know, we live in this world where we're just destiny shoved on our throats. You know, all the movies, all the books, everything where we read for entertainment just talks about this grand destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And you're meant for this and meant for that. Destiny is in a moment. This moment right now is our destiny.
Right.
Like, destiny isn't a destination. It's a process.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. It's all about the journey, right?
Exactly. It's the journey. The journey is the destination.
Absolutely, yes. In the grasp of everything, like we're talking about, that top of the mountain,
uh-huh.
everyone's like, that's it. That's the thing. That's what it's going to be all for.
Be.
But in all honesty, it was the path along the way, the effort, and all of that came into it that really created...
The experience. Mm-hmm.
That really created that destination would be nothing without the journey along the way.
Agreed.
So.
Definitely. Because if that was the case, then we'd all be on top of mountains all the time, and then life wouldn't have any meaning.
Yeah.
Right? We would have been born on top of the mountain.
Oh,
if that's
yeah.
what we were meant to do.
Right,
right.
Exactly. And it's interesting. I'm trying to kind of link it. There's that law of diminishing return, too, that we see. So,
right?
I mean, that was just that basic concept that we were talking about is, yeah, if we're always on the top, you know, it's just going to relatively change.
Right.
Now something so minor of a dent in our lives would be so significantly worse.
Exactly.
It just depends on where you are relative to. And everyone's struggles are different.
Everyone's,
I think that's a beautiful concept as well. Is
oh
that,
my God, yes.
Look, I don't care if you've been through the worst of the worst or the best of the best. Everyone's struggles and successes are based on their experiences.
Yes.
So we should take them just as seriously.
Definitely. And can't stop comparing our struggles to other people or comparing our lives or progress and, you know, creating this, like, it's this trap.
Yes.
That we keep throwing ourselves back into because there's no other person that was born in the moment that you were born in the exact same conditions, in the exact same everything, right?
It's not a fair game.
It's not ever,
whether you're comparing yourself to someone you might think is inferior or superior regardless.
Everybody's starting line is different.
It's too complicated, and that's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. Thank you. Yes. The complexity. The complexity is really... That's what the whole thing is.
Yeah.
I really think that's what God is in many ways, you know? Destiny, these love, it's very, very complex things, and we kind of have to just accept that we feel them and appreciate that experience and trying to, like, find a grand purpose or a grand meaning.
Oh yeah.
To explain all of it, because
you, I mean, and you bring up a beautiful topic, purpose. Oh man. I think I love to ask people, I'm like, what do you want more than anything? And they're like, they always say happiness. And I'm like, that's a fair argument. You know, that's a fair answer there. But I think truly what people want is purpose. I think that is what we crave, is this trying to have value in the things we do, a reason to wake up every day, a reason behind what we do. And that's why I always try to tell people that have that chance now is to chase something that gives them purpose, that feeds their soul.
Right. Align their life with their truth, right?
Right.
The vibrational frequency.
I think everyone's so caught up, like you said, comparing themselves to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, they like this and they like that, and maybe I should be this way, maybe I should be that way. Man, you know yourself better than anyone.
Anybody.
So you know what? Stop questioning yourself and follow what you know you love. You know it better than anyone.
True, you're your own expert.
Yes.
Yeah. Follow your heart and be in touch with those things.
Absolutely.
Be in touch with those emotions, you know. Process your feelings. Process your childhood. Like, figure out, like, who you really are underneath everything, and then that will guide all your decisions from then.
Oh, absolutely. Learn your own book, you know. Like, be self-aware, because it's going to help you so much. You is all you're working with.
Exactly.
So know it.
Know it, and sell it. Sell it to everybody in the best way you can to try and, like, you know, create your vision.
Yes.
For how you think will help the world and help people like you or people who've been through similar struggles.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
And I feel like some of the people that really do stand out in this life that we live in are people that said, despite everything going on and everyone saying that life should be lived this way or that way,
exactly,
I am just going to pursue my dream.
Yes.
I am going to live my life because, as far as I know, this is the only shot I got.
Right.
And I think they leave all doubt behind and they do what they love, and man.
And live in the moment.
Oh, man. You're just bringing up great topics all around, living in the moment.
What a grand.
Yeah. I gave a speech.
Yeah.
At Greek banquet, because I'm Greek. I was in a fraternity, and I had the pleasure of giving a speech, and I heard some wisdom. I can't particularly point out where it was, but
Ryan,
the greatest moments in your life, every single amazing memory that you have, I guarantee you were in the moment. You weren't thinking about the future. You weren't thinking about the past. You weren't thinking about this or that. You were there. You were there at that present moment. And the only way that you're going to make memories that you're never going to forget is being there.
Mm-hmm.
Being in that moment.
Agreed. No picture, no video, nothing could ever capture the experience the way being present in the present moment can.
It's tough. That one I'm a little torn, because I do know what it feels like. I've seen posts that's like, oh, but wait until you see that those memories start to fade.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
true.
Ooh, so we're kind of in this cool moment where we can keep them forever, but we can also...
Try it. We don't need to depend on it.
Yes.
Right?
So, yeah, a little balance.
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 Balance is what we're striving for.
It's all over. It's everywhere.
Oh, it's been so good chatting, Dre. I would love to have you back on sometime.
Anytime.
You can
love it.
I like this philosophical outlook you have on life. You remind me of like a sage. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and before we go, do you have any last advice maybe for a younger Dre? If you could look back on your younger self and say, hey man, here's something. Think about this for a while. What would you tell him?
Ooh, that's such a great question. A couple things. And a lot of them touch on to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
One of them would be believe in the good things that you say about yourself, because oftentimes you get caught up believing in the negative so much that you never give your other side a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big one is truly... believing in myself is a huge one, because at the end of the day...
You're all you have.
Yeah, you're all you got.
And if you don't believe in yourself, why should anybody else?
Right, absolutely. It's got to kind of... Everything's got to stir within you initially. So that's a big one. Right along with that is just not straying from self. That's a big deal. Is I know who I am. I know what I like. And as long as I know that... And as long as I am true to myself, I'm confident that I'll make the right decisions and I'll do the right things. So.
Exactly. Trust yourself. Awesome. Great, great, great advice.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dre.